Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Contact the best authorities. Check on anything that seems to be extraordinary, no matter what it is.
When you see something that's frightening, it looms large in the consciousness.
It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition.
The Boogie Monster, podcasting the unknown.
How's this going over here? Is my levels?
Yeah, your levels seem great. Kyle.
Doing good.
Uh huh.
Beauty levels.
Yeah.
Sweet beauty levels.
I finally get to return the gag to you.
Yeah, come on, man. We've been going. I'm just over here looking at my phone like a dipshit.
Exactly, and I never get to do that because we're never in the same room.
I'm in Stoneburg Studios.
You sure are, buddy.
Stoneburg Studios in beautiful Los Angeles, California.
Absolutely, buddy. It's good to see you in the flesh.
Yeah, man, I gotta say, the Record Room, Stoneburg Studios, we had an evening.
We sure did.
We had an evening. This place, just aesthetically, incredibly comfortable.
Thank you, buddy.
This is a pro gear, pro attitude. I'm looking at record racks, a stereophonic sound system. I was saying yesterday, the fact that you pay attention to your posters mm-hmm. and your art being hung level is so aesthetically pleasing to someone like me who, I don't know how I could be like a slob in one way.
Mm-hmm.
Like I won't shower for 3 days, but if a picture on the wall is crooked, I'm like, this is unacceptable.
I'm the same way. I never thought myself to be OCD at all.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I'm 90 pounds overweight and that's fine. But that picture's
yeah. I'll wait till I have literal pig pen stink lines coming off of me to bathe. But I got to make sure the coaster's on the table. The right angles line up with the corners of the table.
Oh my god! Yeah, I never thought that, but that's hilarious. Like,
well, because it doesn't always have to do with cleanliness. It's more of just a control thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like things like in order.
Yeah,
because even being stinky, it's because I controlled that. I decided if I'm stinking, I don't want to be stinking. I can't get to a shower. I'm annoyed. But if it's 3 days, cause I'm like, yeah, man, I'm just feeling it.
Oh my God. That is so funny, dude.
This is, I couldn't get over it last night. Lovely new place. Katie did a great job.
She's such a good host.
Yeah.
She was like, what kind of snacks does Kyle like?
I'm like, all of them. Apparently all of them. We got all of them.
Yeah. Just had a little.
It was like a movie theater concession stand when we got here.
We had a grown man slumber party.
We really did.
Mm-hmm.
We really did. We stayed up. We listened to records and we watched things. And we walking around being goofs.
Yeah, man.
It was a hell of a night. We played Oxnard, California.
That was a lot of fun.
That was a good show.
Yeah.
So it was Monday night. Not so many people, but
it's still a good turnout for a Monday
for
night.
For a Monday, I was very happy.
Yeah. Dude, and I try to quell this, you know, because you're my buddy. But watching you work, man, watching you get that hour dialed in.
It's got to be dialed in. I'm recording it in a couple days. So.
It's a good one.
And likewise.
Folks are going to love it, man.
And likewise, old Dave's talking about being a cop on stage.
Just this tour, this last little run, this last little run in the Midwest that I just got back from. By the way, yesterday I was up for 29 hours, so it was just a long
I didn't realize that. I thought you'd come home taking a nap.
No, that was the intention, but it just it didn't work out that way. But yeah, anyway, this last run, I'm going to start talking about the cop shit. Figured. I think it was
pertinent.
It was our last run together in December in Florida and Georgia, where you're like, I forgot how you phrased it, but you're like, you have legitimately interesting stories. I'm up there talking about farts.
Yeah, I don't.
Why
do
are you not
shit
talking
in
about
my real life? Like, think about every comic who's just like, yeah, I started comedy and I liked it, and then I waited tables, and then every stand up comedian's origin story is so similar. Like, yeah, I waited tables, yeah, I partied, and then I did stand up, and then boy, did I have some shitty jobs. But you have like a very unique like. You know, it's like hearing like somebody that was like in the military or something. Like, oh shit, you had a real life.
Yeah,
you did some real life stuff before being a comedian. Not many comics I know did real life things.
Yeah, yeah. And I used to be I don't know if self-conscious is not the right word, but I used to regret that I started comedy so late. I started at 29, and when I was early in my career, I was like, oh, if I'd have started, at 22, I'd have seven more years in or whatever. But like. now I feel like it's starting to kind of bear fruit and that I can go back and, you know, mine material from those, my 20s, when I wasn't even thinking
about
it.
Yeah, you were out living.
Yeah.
Doing a real thing.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's been cathartic. Not to be too pretentious about stand-up, but it's been nice to be able to finally talk about some of that stuff on stage, yeah, where for literally 15 years I was just afraid to, or not afraid to, but just, and we've talked about that, just.
Some of it's kind of gnarly. You're telling me some of the stories, I'm like, yeah, I don't know if that's so much, that might be more of a one-man show.
Yeah, you know, yeah, a lot of the
kind
stories
of retelling
aren't really, it's kind of hard to find the humor in some of the gory shit.
Yeah, man, you tell them to me. I'm like, I don't know if that one should be on the stage.
Yeah, I don't know how to spin some of this stuff. But yeah, it's fun. It was a fun show. Yeah, dude, your hour. I mean, your closing bit,
buddy.
And I think you addressed it on stage. You got the closing bit's like 25 minutes.
Well, I got.
And I say that as a compliment. Like,
it's a story, yeah. It's a story.
Yeah, but like, it's such beautiful long form comedy. Like,
oh, thanks, man. Again, we're talking about, yes, there's some people that can write a perfect joke,
mm-hmm,
set up punchline, like the basics. Like, I'm gonna be an NBA star. You need to know how to do a layup.
Yeah.
Just a regular layup.
Yeah.
Just do a regular layup. And I'm not gonna be good with sports metaphors. It's not my thing. But like, you got to know those basic.
Mm-hmm.
Like we said, it's always the admirers of famous comics, like, oh, I'm going to emulate. They do start emulating styles. At least I'm glad I started emulating Hedberg, because like, that taught me I had to try and write jokes, yeah, right away.
Yeah.
Or even if you emulate David Tell, still jokes. Like, okay, they're dirtier, but it's still jokes. Whereas like, oh man, I'm just going to emulate Dave Chappelle. It's like, well, we're just going to go. Like, none of us are philosophers.
Yeah, get off the fucking stool.
None of us are philosophers. Also, you think like people praise, like, oh, if, you know, Aristotle, all these philosophers, but what, like, you just got to be the guy wandering around town, ruminating on shit,
mm-hmm,
then people fed and clothed you?
Yeah.
Over that? Like, how were they compensated in the world for just being the guy that wander around? Because the currency here is that people laugh. That's what they're trading off for.
Uh-huh.
Philosopher. You could be a philosopher, go for it. Everybody's a fucking philosopher. Everybody has an opinion on something.
Mm-hmm. But like, did philosophers,
but like, how, yeah,
have
how
public
did you,
appearances? Did they?
Yeah, how, yeah, well, yeah, I do the college circuit.
Yeah.
That fit right in there.
We're going to go see Aristotle tonight.
Yeah, higher education. It's kind of based in the, you know. So, yeah, I wonder about that, but. Yeah, comedians, like, I'm a philosopher. Like, really? What life experience do you have other than being a comedian?
Yeah.
Other than having free time to ponder things?
Yeah.
You know, that's why, like, you come and talk about cop stuff. It's like, oh, wait a minute. We're all sitting here like, all cops are bastards, defund the police. But then to listen to somebody who was a cop, but who this whole time has been the comedian we've been hanging out with, like, mm-hmm, oh, that's the perspective.
Yeah,
that we didn't think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's good. I think it's valuable, man.
Well, thank you, buddy. Yeah, I just feel like, not that, I don't know how to articulate it. Not that I have just an endless amount of interesting stories about, but I was a cop for 4.5 years,
yeah,
and I saw a lot of crazy shit. But like we were just referring to, like, some of it I have no idea how to make funny. And I'm probably not even going to attempt on some of
those.
Maybe
don't make
stories.
It funny.
Yeah.
But, I mean, just in the regular course of life, like, I saw this with my own eyes. It has shaped my, my appreciation for the value of human life, some of the stuff that's happened.
Mm-hmm.
Those are stories for you to tell, buddy, for whenever you want to tell them.
Oh, man. But yeah, fun show. Thanks for everybody who came out to my Midwest shows. Yeah, every show, I had a blast. And I was talking to you a little bit about this offstage, off mic. But I don't think I had really talked to you much about it, or maybe at all prior. But if I'm being honest, I've been in sort of a creative, I don't want to say crisis or rut, but just, sincerely, it has nothing to do with like career success, because at this point, I'm not really interested in that. I mean, yeah, I'd love to get a Netflix special. You know, what comic wouldn't? I'd love to get things, but it's not like, oh, shucks, I haven't done what I feel like I should have done or gotten what I deserved. It's more like it's been, I've questioned in the last year or two. Well, I guess a lot of, not just comics, but anybody who's in a particular field through COVID and all that.
Yeah, everybody got shook up a little bit.
But I was just like, of course I'm getting a phone call. What am I trying to say? It's not, I haven't been sitting around thinking like, oh, I'm going to quit because I haven't accomplished what I want to accomplish. It was, do I still want to do it this way 10 years from now, 15 years from now?
Yeah.
Is it time to consider a pivot into whatever, food truck, record store? I don't know. But this last run was like, no, this is why you fell in love with it in the first place, asshole. Like, I had so much fun.
People came out with it. People love it. I mean, yeah, everybody gets that spin in your wheels feeling.
Yeah. And Katie made a great point. She's like, you always feel that way, dumbass, when you go on these long stretches in between tours or when you're not getting local stage time enough or whatever. It's like,
you were moving. I mean, you got married. You were moving. It was the holidays. You were also doing other stuff. Mm-hmm. That wasn't comedy related. I get that same way around the holidays too, where I always like work up until December, mid-December, but then the holidays and everything, I fuck off and I won't do anything. But then halfway through January, I'm like, got to get back at it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm losing it all. I got to get back at it. So,
well, and I think that was my concern though, was during those breaks, I didn't have that antsy look, ooh, I want to get back to it. It was like,
yeah,
am I okay with this? Am I okay with not doing it? But then at the same time, as soon as I go back out and do it, it's like, oh no, yeah, I did miss it.
You're supposed to be doing it.
Yeah. But yeah, I just had an absolute blast on this run and then flying back and then doing that show last night.
Yeah, I didn't realize you'd been awake for that long. You're getting... It's funny because then you volunteered to drive to the show last night, and you just drove past every exit on the way back to your house. And I'm looking at the GPS. I'm like, oh, maybe just he's been gone. Maybe it's like he just likes being on the 101 for a while. And eventually I was like, what are we doing, buddy?
Well, I did want to go. He wanted me to take Laurel Canyon. Yeah, I'm like, I'm not doing that shit. I'll just drive down to Sunset. And you're like, there's four other quicker options.
The GPS is like, how about this? All right, maybe this one. I guess you missed that one. How about this one? I'm like,
I was fried.
Yeah.
On the 101, I was just kind of had it in cruise control, stay in the same lane. It was easy. But then when I had to get off and start bobbing and weaving, I was like, wait, what am I doing?
And we still kicked it till about 3:30 last night.
Yeah, man.
Being ding-dongs around. It's a very comfortable place.
Thanks,
buddy.
It's
an incredibly comfortable apartment.
Yeah, Katie, it's all Katie's credit. She's pretty much hung every picture and did everything. And was generous enough to be like, you take this second room and you do a record room or office or whatever.
So, yeah.
So it's been nice.
It's inviting. It's very inviting.
Thanks. Sometimes I feel like it's a little Peter Pan-ish, like, this is my room. This is where my things are.
But it's, I mean, like, every dude, like, we'll call it the man cave, call it the garage. Who gives a shit? Mm-hmm. What were you going to do with it?
Yeah, exactly. What else would I do?
Rachel and I each have a bedroom that's our office. Mm-hmm. It's an office.
Yeah.
If it's your office, you pull whatever you want in your office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got my records and my posters.
Yeah. Man, well, yeah, I'm glad you had great shows. I had weirdo shows.
Yeah? Yeah, you did have a weird week of shows.
I did a college gig out in the middle of Missouri.
How'd that go?
I mean, it was a college gig. It was just 20 youths in a well-lit classroom. I wore a tie-dye shirt, too. I just had it on for a couple days at that point.
And the,
like I was saying, and I'm like, man, this, like, I look, because I already look like, you know, balding with the beard and the tie-dye shirt, and I look like a guy, like, I'm here to freak out the squares, man. I look like like the juice guys from The Simpsons. Like, oh, this is the worst old guy trying to look young vibe. But they were fine. It was fine. You know, college gigs, they notoriously pay well, and then you do them, and you're like, I don't know. It was weird. Fine. Weird gigs. I like weird gigs. They shake you up a little bit.
When you say well-lit classroom, was there no performance lighting? Was it literally just a classroom?
Oh, it was just a classroom
like
college.
No attempt at trying to do any kind of lighting? Oh, man. That's rough.
It was classroom.
Like it's career day.
And yeah, and then I stood on the stage. They still had a whole PA. I'm like, I don't need this. I could just talk to them. I didn't use a PA. I feel like it's insulting. If there's not a lot of people there, mm-hmm. I feel like it's almost condescending to use a microphone.
Yeah. For me, it's the physical comfort.
Yeah, and I like, now use your hands for things.
Yeah.
Figure out what to do with your person.
Yeah.
And then Saturday night, I did a private gig for this woman was supposed to happen 2 years ago. It was her 50th birthday. And I'm her favorite comedian. This woman's mother is a billionaire.
With a real B. That's like $10 million.
That's like a few $10 million. It's a few $10 million.
I was like in my 20s before I actually realized what a billion. Everybody thinks billion. That's just a shit ton of money. It's a million, 1,000 times over. You have 1,000 million.
Think of $1 million, and think of people that have $100 million. Like it always helps when they show it visualized, as far as like. Here's what $100 looks like. Like physical dollar bills.
Yeah.
You know, here's what in a billion is, a thousand million.
Yeah, 1,000 millions. Quick aside, I want to hear your story about that show. But in the news recently, in the last couple of days on Twitter, Elon Musk either did or is about to purchase Twitter for $44 billion. Funny comic Jesse Case out of Nashville. His tweets are always so fucking funny. But this wasn't even meant to be funny, but he was like, hey, for some perspective, and I did the math and it did compute. He's like, $44 billion. He's like, if you made $200,000 a day, every day since Columbus arrived in America 500 years ago, think about that. For the last 500 years, if you somehow earned $200,000 every day, you still wouldn't have $44 billion. That's mind blowing. That's mind blowing. That's how much $44 billion is. $200,000 a day since 1492.
Inconceivable is the word.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and I know this is just so obvious and everybody complains about being billionaires, but like, how do you literally even accumulate that much? Like, how's that even possible?
Your family had it first. Company, I mean, because then in that $1 billion, I mean, it's not just $1 billion sitting in a bank. It's, I don't know if like cumulative, how they talk about it, like with, well, this company is worth this much that they own. So that's part of their wealth, you know, and I don't have the imagination to think of it.
I couldn't imagine going out tomorrow and in one day figuring out how to come home with $200,000. And with that example, that's every day of every year for the last 500 and something years. That's insane to me.
And what is it? What's in the mindset of like accumulating more? Like it's not, they can't be real numbers to those people.
Yeah.
Like there's never anything like, oh, I don't have a thing. I got to work harder to get this thing. There's nothing. That's why they go to fucking space.
Yeah.
There's no yachts big enough. It's I'll go to space. I know they're trying to be like, they're trying to say it's like altruistic, all their space programs. Like, you know, Bezos, you don't need with your dumb cowboy hat. I go to space now.
Yeah.
I was in the room with a one billionaire.
Do you think there were other billionaires? Like, surely they, if you're a billionaire, you probably travel in circles with other billionaires.
Or at least other multi-millionaires.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Because a billion is 1,000 million.
I mean, it's that great, that great Andy Sanford joke. I'm paraphrasing. He's like, yeah. Reading the news that the national deficit was $17 trillion. $17 trillion.
Yeah.
That's more money than I make in a year. Yeah. Yeah. No shit.
I was like, they got to have it. If you're that rich, people could say anything they want about. I wanted to make sure this gal whose birthday it was. I called
where several times, by the way.
Spago in Beverly Hills.
Oh wow. I've always heard that, but I wouldn't know.
So have I.
Yeah. Just frou-frou.
So have I. That's what I was saying. I was like, yeah, I've never been to Spago. No kidding. I'm like, I've been to the Cheesecake Factory down the street. Hell of an appletini.
Did they hook you up with a meal or anything?
They're like anything you want to eat before. I'm like, I'm not going to eat. I'm nervous to do the show. Because I just sat at the bar. I probably drank about 5 Old Fashions, mm-hmm. which there, I mean, I think they were like $30 a pop.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I thought you were being exaggerating.
No.
$30 for a cocktail?
Maybe 25, which is not, it's an asshole price, but yeah. Not. And I was just drinking like whatever you make it with the well. Like,
yeah.
They had like the cognac and stuff and the snifters at the bar. The first, right when I get there, the first, they told me, they're like, wait at the bar because it's a surprise. Okay. So go into the bar area. This is the birthday party's in a private room. I go sit at the bar. There's some woman drinking white wine and she's telling to like the all minority staff that's working there. She's like, yeah, and now one of my tenants is calling me a racist. So now I have to go to the board and deal with that because they're like just an old white lady drinking wine at Spago talking about her tenants thinking she's racist. I'm like, this is on the nose as far as what I thought I would hear at Spago and all the minority bartender's like, oh no, that can't be true. But then they left and they're just like, she's a very nice lady. So, and they were all like friendly. I mean, of course they're gonna be friendly. That you never know who's who. Mm-hmm. Which that's just the way you should behave in normal life, not yeah. because it's advantageous, but who cares? Treat everybody mm-hmm. with the same amount of kindness. But if you're walking through those doors,
damn. How many people roughly were there?
It was about 80 people in a birthday party. It was pretty big. And then, yeah, I opened up with Megan. If I'm like, you know, I wasn't wearing a hat or anything. I'm just looking for a good hair guy. And I'm like, but now looking around this room, you know what? Never mind. And then that one was rough right away. In fact, you got millions of dollars and you pay somebody enough money to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. Like, who's if I was a billionaire, like, you're on the payroll. You need to tell me when I'm being an asshole. Mm-hmm. I don't want yes men. I want somebody that's a regular person that's like, yeah, man, you got a dark brown toupee and you're 78 years old and the rest of your hair is white. It doesn't match. Fix your fucking head.
Reality consultant.
Yeah, exactly. Really?
What a good gig.
I need you to help me keep it real.
That's a cool gig.
Yeah. And so some of these things, some people were laughing at the jokes, but other people, they're like social astronauts. They've just been in orbit around real people mm-hmm. for so long. Like they don't know. They don't, the same way we can't conceive mm-hmm. of them having them. It's a let them eat cake kind of thing. Even though they were, and the, I mean, I'm not going to name names here. it was a weird gig. Mm-hmm. I tried to write jokes specific for it because people have been having a fun birthday. They're in there. I'm like, you're going to go like, anyway, guys.
Yeah, just do your regular. Yeah, act.
So I got a cat that lives in my yard. Like, yeah. It's not going to.
Yeah, and they love that. The private gigs, they love it when you customize it a little bit.
Well, customize a little too much.
What else? What else?
Nothing. I'm just like, yeah, I just did some Googling. Main woman's lady. She's like, it was through real estate transactions. But she's also very philanthropic. Like, the biggest laugh I got, I was like, so what did you guys do with your $1,200 stimulus checks? And they laughed too hard at that. They laughed way too hard. I'm like, well, you may... You know, make your money, make money for you. I play the lottery. That's the same thing. That's what you do. You make your money, make more money.
Yeah.
But there was a couple drunk loose ones in there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And one lady who just had the most just kind of well-to-do kind of smug face, thinking she's helping but just sounding like, well, tell them about your life, what it's like being blue collar. Like just, And I think she thought she was being funny. Like, I'll throw myself under the bus. I always try to think people are funnier than they are. And they're just miscalculated in their comedy. I'm like, oh, you're trying to be the aristocrat that says something like that. I don't want to believe you're actually saying that for real. Hmm. You know what I mean? We're like, I want to give people more credit for funny things.
Yeah.
So, but it was, you know, fucking got paid.
How long did you have to do?
Half hour.
Oh, really? Just a half hour?
Yeah, half hour. And they were appreciative, and I got, like, later on the feedback afterwards, that, oh, everybody loved it. I'm like, everybody did not love it.
Yeah.
Not everybody.
Yeah.
But I was trying to do crowd work. It wasn't even crowd work. I'm like, I was something talking about one lady, like, horse. Oh, yeah, of course you're horse people. I'm like, how many horses do you have? You're like, 20. I'm like, what the fuck do you have 20 horses for? It's a car you have to feed.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, we breed them. I'm like, so you make more horses. With 20 horses, you make more horses. It was just a class of people that I just wasn't even prepared to imagine trying to mingle with.
I'm trying to think.
When one of the people working there goes, like, man, when you said the thing about the stimulus checks, like, we were losing it. I'm like, good. This is for you. This is truly for you guys. And you still probably make more than me in a year being a waiter at Spaco.
I would assume I've never been in the same building as a billionaire.
I was going to say the airport, but no, they probably got a private jet somewhere. I'm trying to think of what building.
They're not standing at the curb at LAX.
You might have been getting an insufficient funds receipt from an ATM, and they own the bank. You know, they might have been in that same building.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
Yeah, it was a wild one. I'm like, so two weird gigs, and then it was kind of refreshing to just do Irvine Sunday and Oxnard last night. Like, oh, these are the jokes. These are the people I need to be around here.
Yeah. Yeah, last night was a lot of fun. It was a good time. We had one disruptive lady who left pretty early on.
Just a put-together.
I never got a look at her.
She seemed like a very put-together woman. Well, not like she looked physically put together, but just drunk. Bruce Gray emceed. And handled it very well. It was funny, but direct about it. Mm-hmm. About, like, all right, well, we're going to keep you. Make sure you stay shut up. But we'll take you to Kohl's across the mall later. So she didn't get in your act too much.
She tried to, and I just completely ignored her, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I really do, ironically, I have a long leash with that stuff. Only because I don't want to stop what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Mess up my rhythm. Address it. So, like, I'm pretty tolerant. Like, I just, all right, I'll pretend I didn't hear that. Well, I'll ignore that.
It's like, if you run over them once or twice, we're like, oh, I got no in here anyway. So, I guess I'll give up.
Yeah, so she left fairly early in your set.
Yeah,
I didn't even notice that she had left.
I made a joke about Anne Frank, and I saw her just like, oh, threw her coat over her arm and walked out. I'm like, that's fine.
So a few minutes after she left, I just get this text. Hey, dude, this is Bruce, the host. Got your number from Dave Waite. I got locked out. Can you come open the green room door? So during your set, he goes out to smoke a cigarette or something. And he's done that club a lot. And he's like, I always go out this door, smoke a cigarette, come back in the front. And the doors were locked. So not only did he get locked out, while he's locked out, that lady is out there. And he's like.
Yeah, it was like a zombie movie for him. He just told her to shut up. Now they're both just lost in this outdoor mall together.
Just the two of them alone.
Guys, let me in, man. She's out here, dude.
And apparently he said, she immediately comes up and is like, what's your deal? He's like, I don't have a deal. I got another problem right now.
I was like, I don't have a deal. There's no deal. Don't worry about it. There's no deal.
I got to get back into my workspace.
The security guard came by. We'll just bang on the door. You can't bang on the door. There's a show going on. You just got to bang real hard so they hear him. Like, you can't do that. to go through a third party, Dave Waite, to get your number to call.
And yet he's 30 feet on the other side of that wall.
That was quick thinking on his part, though, I'll be honest.
All right, let's talk about Athletic Greens. I've been taking Athletic Greens for months now. Started taking it right after the wedding. When I started packing on the pounds that I had lost leading up to the wedding, I said, all right, let me figure out what I can do with my diet to at least start my day off with something positive nutrition-wise. And this is what I love about it. It's got so much nutrition, 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, adaptogens. If I do nothing else nutrition-wise for the rest of the day, even if I eat like I just got out of prison, at least I start my day with a nice serving of Athletic Greens. One scoop in 8 to 12 ounces of water. Shake it up. Suck it down. No blender involved. It's not chalky. It doesn't have that terrible green smoothie kale aftertaste. This stuff's got like a nice little pleasant tropical taste to it. Almost like an athletic drink. Like a Gatorade if it didn't have all that sugar and chemicals and whatnot. Like I said, just suck it down, start your day right. It's really helped me curtail my cravings. So many benefits to this stuff. It helps your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, energy, recovery, focus, aging, all that stuff. It's lifestyle friendly, whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, gluten-free, what have you. Less than 1 gram of sugar. No GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial anything. Still tastes good. Supports better sleep quality and recovery. Mental clarity and alertness. Also, very affordable. Less than $3 a day. Who can't afford $3 a day? I come on. Coffee, cigarettes, booze. You can find $3 a day for your nutrition, for your wellness, for your overall health. Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews, recommended by professional athletes, trusted by leading health experts such as Tim Ferriss and Michael Gervais. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with a convenient daily nutrition, especially heading into cold flu season. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. Like I said, 8 to 12 ounces of water, one scoop, shake it up, suck it down, boom, that's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. Athletic Greens is the way to go. Right now, to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/boogie. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/boogie. Take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance, athleticgreens.com/boogie. Fresh from San Diego, California, comes the only sunglasses brand I'm ever going to wear ever again in my life, I swear. I'm talking about Blenders Eyewear. You're going to be just as hooked as I was when you see how awesome these shades are. I went with the Swagger Cat model. Really captures my essence. They're sturdy. I accidentally washed them in the wash. I washed and dried them. They were in my pockets. I sometimes forget to clear my pockets before I do laundry. Didn't hurt them at all. Very sturdy, very stylish, very affordable. Chase Fisher started Blenders by selling his beachy shades out of a backpack while doubling as a surf instructor on Pacific Beach. His goal? To create an adventurous, mid-priced eyewear option with the same cool factor as the other leading styles. Unlike expensive big brand shades that you're probably going to lose or smash, Blenders are actually affordable, so you're not going to cry as much when the inevitable happens, even if you happen to wash them. And I didn't cry because they're sturdy. They didn't break. But even if they did, I didn't pay too much for these. I didn't pay for anything, because they're hooking me up. But even if you paid full price, they're very affordable. Blenders' team of in-house designers are constantly coming out with new styles, from orange polarized wraparounds, tortoise shell frames with purple lenses, to classic gold arms on black lenses. And it's not just sunglasses. Blenders has prescription glasses as well. They have readers, they have blue lights, everything you need, even a snow collection with goggles and accessories. That's exciting. Live life in forward motion with Blenders today. Here's what you do. To score 15% off your Blenders purchase, visit BlendersEyewear.com, enter promo code BOOGIEVIP. That's BlendersEyewear.com, code BOOGIEVIP for 15% off. Blenders, rocked with pride worldwide.
But yeah, it was a good time. And
well, cool, buddy.
Old Oxnard, we did the jokes, and then
yeah,
shit. I don't know. I've just been in LA for the past week. And
how's it been going here? Been hanging.
Why
out?
Why we haven't it? It's been. It's you know. You, well, we recorded to late Tuesday because I had myself a Monday last week.
Okay, that's right.
Monday's the new Friday, man. I tell you, last night 3:30 in the morning. That's why they're coming out late, everybody. Monday's new Friday. I don't think we can keep this Tuesday schedule anymore, everybody. Yeah. And then it like Wednesday was just, I kind of fried out. by Wednesday. Thursday, I had to go to Missouri for that gig. Friday, came back and saw the Menzingers at the old Roxy there. That was a great show.
I'm unfamiliar with them.
They're a punk rock band.
Okay.
Punk rock, emo, indie kind of band out of East Coast, Philadelphia area.
Yeah, good show. They're
real good, yeah. Right on. I wanted to see Sincere Engineer. Got the same thing happened to me when I was open for Jawbreaker. Uh-huh. Like, okay, show starts at 9. Mm-hmm. Or this one starts at 8. Oh, we were rolling at about 8:10. We heard the end of their last song. Like, oh, no, our stuff says 7:45 in the back. I'm like, the ticket said 8. I was right next door at the Roxy. I heard it start. I'm like, oh, they're just doing a sound check. Uh-huh. And I didn't think of them anyway. So I missed them, but met a couple folks from that band. Chicago represent was good. And then the Menzingers were awesome. And then I still like the Rainbow Room. I still like the old.
Did you go there?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I still like the old rockers hanging on to it, man.
Yeah.
I've said it before. Good. Yeah. Hang on to it, dudes.
Did you see some throwback dudes over there?
There was some original. I mean, a lot of the OGs, I mean, are dead or just, you know, it's not a sustainable thing. Like, all right, let's go drink Jack Daniels at the Rainbow. I'm like, who are you going to call? When they're all like, yeah, we're 68 years old, dude. I'm exhausted. That was 40 years ago. I cannot do that anymore.
Oh, my God.
And so there's a couple. But then it's more like people that are in their 20s or 30s that are still, that's their era of music. Mm-hmm. You know, almost in a way that I was trying to pull off rockabilly shit, that there's, you know, 24-year-old rockabilly peoples in the 90s that like that. Do you think there was like people in the 40s that were like, I'm a
flapper.
I'm a medieval knight. There's not like, yeah, like tried to pull like some, there's a throwback scene. Like when did what was the first throwback mimicry like scene?
Oh man. Yeah. Somebody from the 18th century pretended to be from the 16th century.
Yeah. What is that, a coonskin cap? Yeah, man, I'm just doing like a retro thing. You know? It's vintage, dude.
It is crazy. I do this math in my head all the time, but it's crazy to think, like, all right, when we were in high school, the Beatles were 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And now.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were in high school 30. Now Pearl Jam was 30 years ago.
That's
crazy.
I mean, I we were talking about this last night. Like, I don't feel 45. I mean, as dudes, you don't look in the mirror and like really ponder.
Obviously.
Like, I can't, if I get stoned and look in the mirror, I'm like, you're old as fuck, dude. Look at your face. I can't do it.
Yeah.
Mushrooms, never look in the mirror on mushrooms. Don't ever do that. No. But it's like, no, I brush my teeth. Everything's fine. I don't feel any boogers hanging off me. I'm fine. I'm going to get out of here. You know, I don't ponder the wrinkles or anything. But then you look at a photo of yourself. Like I forget that my beard's all white now.
Yeah.
And I look 45.
Yeah, me too.
Shit hurts, whatever. That, you know, my body. But I don't feel, mentally, I don't feel 45.
Well, because our personal resume isn't that of a 45-year-old in that we don't have a 9-to-5, we don't have kids.
Yeah, I don't have a kid turning 18 that's putting me in check where I'm like going to think about when I was 18 how far ago. Mm-hmm. But so it is, you know, you see the kids that, like, people wear Sublime shirts, and not ironically, just as like a throwback fashion. Mm-hmm. Because it's from the 90s. Mm-hmm. It's from 25 years ago. And it's just a fashion thing. That would be like just wearing a Led Zeppelin shirt in 1995. It looks cool, man. It's good artwork. We like the artwork. Yeah, I heard the album. I like the band well enough, but the shirt looks cool. It's classic rock. That stuff's classic rock.
Yeah. Well, and I do appreciate that when I see somebody wearing a shirt or listen to a band from a bygone era, because I do also get annoyed at the opposite of that, of people who aren't aware of any pop culture thing that happened before they were born. Well, I was born in 92, but yeah, you never heard it. I had a buddy who was like 10 years younger than me, and this was 10 or 12 years ago, but he had no idea what I was talking about when I referenced Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah.
It's like, you never even heard of it? Like, I get like, oh, I know that's a movie, I've never seen it. He had no idea what I was talking about. He's like, well, I wasn't even born yet. It's like, well, the Beatles retired before I was born, but I still know who they are.
I mean, I could see if you're like, oh, it's a movie from the 80s about the 60s. I mean, yeah, okay. Think of how many classic movies.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Like
later.
Streetcar Named Desire. I didn't see it. I know it's a movie.
Yeah.
Like, think of how many movies that are just classics. Mm-hmm. I've tried to watch, and some of them are just, they're slow as shit because we were raised on, you know, raised, but like the stuff that you know about now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, it was slower paced. I'm like, oh, they put the credits before the movie even starts. What is this, 5 minutes of this shit? Get to the action, baby.
Speaking of which, I wonder how that's, I haven't noticed, but I wonder if entertainment in general, like classic entertainment or traditional entertainment, like movies, like television shows.
Traditional entertainment.
I wonder how that is changing in this new TikTok era.
Square dancing. Plate spinning.
Big wrestling. But, you know, all we hear about now is, you know, short attention spans and, you know, ADHD and five-second clips. I wonder if that has affected long-form art.
I think people are still making the art, but as far as what's pop culture stuff, I think it's definitely stunted people's attention. I mean, think about any video, like, watch this 5-second ad. It's like, fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
Click away. Like, yep. So even now, like, just Netflix, like, oh, we're going to put ads. Like, everybody's like, well, Netflix is sinking to the bottom of the ocean because they're going to play ads. Have you tried to watch this regular TV at all lately?
I won't do it.
It's just,
I can't, I won't watch commercials. I'll watch, like, in the hotel, like on the tour. Yeah. I only watched if I had Showtime or HBO or something. I'm not going to sit there and watch Comedy Central or the only exception for me is sports because there's no other options. I have to watch. If I'm watching a sports ball game, you know, you got to watch the commercials. But, like, I'm not going to watch a movie.
You got to watch it live, yeah.
I'm not going to watch a movie. If there's a great movie and it's on VH1, fuck that.
Unacceptable. No. Not a chance. Yeah, it's like a hand-cranked phonograph. Like, no, we don't need this.
Oh, man.
But I bet it does. I bet there's, I mean, and that's a boogie monster topic of just how it's affecting people's brain. We should have watched Social Dilemma last night. Could you get to watch that?
Yeah, I started.
Not like
that
we would have made it 3:30 in the morning. Like, let's watch Donnie Brasco.
We watched 7 minutes of Donnie Brasco.
I think if you made it 7, I probably made it 4.
Oh, man. But yes, good to be back. Good to see you in person.
We're doing it live, baby. This is the spot. This is just Dave's interview room, man.
Yeah, man.
Dave just interviewing some country legends in here.
That's where I come to play with my toys.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're trying to just create a good vibe here.
You nailed it.
You know, and we were talking last night. We were stoned and having I think I was having recently whatever the opposite of an existential crisis is.
Yeah.
Just like just starting to realize, like, all right, I'm not going to have kids. I'm married, you know, knock on wood, you know, the marriage is going to work out and we're going to, and I was just like, all I've got to do in my life is just be good to my wife, be good to my friends and have fun and try to pursue whatever my interests or goals are.
I've been thinking like along those lines too. And like, maybe I got to start. How much am I taking versus how much am I giving back?
That's a good way to look at it. That's nice.
You know, how much am I consuming versus how much am I creating? Mm-hmm. So I try to. It was a joke. I don't know if I was telling you that. I was trying to make it about. It just wasn't working as a joke, but about like being in that house in Oregon now. Mm-hmm. And like now I'm very well aware of how much garbage I make.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's not in the hour.
It just hasn't made it as a, I don't know how
the neighbors walking by and judging.
Well,
the baby
that
food
makes
and,
it, but about like now I physically know like this is all my garbage.
Yeah,
like I made this in a week, and about how like did I do enough good things in the world this week to justify this much trash that I've put in the world? And sometimes I'm like, no, man, you just bought some bullshit. Here's a bunch of dumb packaging that came with it. And I didn't do anything, so I'm like, well, I better do more stuff next week, but I'm lazy. I'm like, I just won't get as much stuff next week. I just won't buy stuff next week. I'm not going to be, I'm still going to be lazy. Like, I'm not going to go sign up for the Big Brother program, but I'm going to buy less bullshit. I'll make some meals at home, not use takeout containers.
I'm not going to go earn more money, but I'm going to spend less.
I'm budgeting my karma.
That's so
budgeting
funny.
My goodwill with the universe.
It's so funny that you brought that up because Katie was tidying up the house before you came over yesterday. And I was just thinking, man, Katie's, there may be several things, but there's one thing that she's really into that would drive you up a wall. Single-use plastic. She's out of control. She loves her big, she doesn't drink alcohol anymore. So her thing, she loves beverages. She loves sparkling water and she loves diet soda and just, but everything that she consumes liquid wise is other than we finally started doing the big jugs of water. We got the water cooler with the 5 gallon thing, but every other liquid that goes in her body came from a single use plastic or glass.
I mean, and again, it's the companies that are the worst ones, but you can get it in glass or cans. Everything you can get in a glass or a can. Sparkling water. Love a Topo Chico. So you got that over there.
And we recycle all that stuff, of course. But I just had, when I was showing you the recycling, I opened it and there was just like dozens of plastic Perrier bottles. I'm like, ugh.
You've been nothing but kind. I'm not in your home to judge. Not in your home to judge.
But I've been doing good. Like ever since you got me the Street Justice Dave Nalgene, which was a couple years ago, that's the only thing, you know, in terms of water.
Just having a mug, carrying a mug around.
Just little things.
But also like beverages you like taste better out of a can or glass. Yeah. Even it's, I mean, you think about, think of like alcohol. Like, would you drink beer out of a plastic? Like if they came in plastic bottles?
No. I do sometimes, depending on what beer it is, sometimes I prefer the can.
Yeah.
But I always prefer a can or a bottle a cup, you know, or a,
I think you go to those bars, like the extra rowdy or cheaper bars where you get the plastic pint glass and you're like,
Red Solo cup. No, I don't.
Yeah. I mean, if I backyard barbecue kind of thing.
Yeah. Something like that. But if I had the option,
that's my hang up, man. It's funny the way the companies are all like, you know, you need to try better. Mm-hmm. Remember to recycle this product. And you realize it's the companies that are polluting everything worse than the individual. But like I said, been nothing but hospitable. Slumber party with a little Mel's diner.
Walked over to Mel's diner this morning. Had some good.
Didn't see any celebrities.
Nice steak and eggs. You had an Arnold Schwarzenegger burrito.
Yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger had a limited menu over there.
I didn't even notice that. What was the point with that?
I just opened it. It was like falsely healthy items.
Yeah.
It's like a protein shake, something else, and like an Impossible Meat burrito with vegan cheese.
It looked pretty good.
It was good. Yeah. You know, it tasted good.
Boy.
Did the job.
I ate my way through the Midwest. Holy shit. I told you about, I think I told you last week, when I checked into my hotel in Milwaukee, there was a cheese convention. I was like, well, that's on brand. Good job,
that's
guys.
That's a little redundant.
Yeah. Yeah, but, I ate some German food. Dude, I was mowing down some White Castle. Probably had 3 or 4 White Castle meals.
I don't even know the numbers anymore when I go there. I'm like, I don't know, fucking 10. Like, I just don't remember. But it's not, no, 4. Stop at 4. Yeah. You're an adult. I say 6. I finish 6, but I'm like, you did not need 6.
Yeah. I do the 4. The number one combo, you get 4 and fries and a drink. And I was like, yeah. That, and in my mind, I'm like, that's not enough, but
no Crave cases.
I'll say that that's all I need.
I've talked about, man, just that steam cook that is just.
I love that that gray goop. Get that gray sludge on the bun.
Ooh,
I love it, dude. I had one of the
gnarly.
I had two of the best biscuits I've ever had in my life in the same week. I spoke very highly in the past of Tudor's Biscuit World, which is only available in and around West Virginia.
Biscuit World.
Yeah, and not just Biscuit World, Tudor's, T-U-D-O-R, apostrophe S.
Oh, like the royal.
Yeah.
The royal family.
Yeah.
The Tudor's of the Biscuit World.
Incredible. It's a fast food spot. It's much like, kind of like a Bojangles or but they're only open. They're hiring, and now all their advertisements are like, be off work by 2:30 p.m. because they close at like 2.
Okay.
It's only breakfast and lunch. But incredible biscuit. And then flew in and out of Nashville just because it's the cheapest ticket to the area that I could find. Direct flight. So both the day I landed and the day I left, had breakfast at Big Bed Breakfast. Just had the biscuit with the tomato gravy. Mm-hmm. You've had that tomato gravy.
Yep, had it when we were in Birmingham.
Oh, my God.
Yes, sir.
That place, dude.
Yes, sir. You done? You did well, man.
If I lived in Nashville, I'd already be dead. I ate at Husk in Nashville.
I saw those pictures.
Oh, I had some broiled trout. I had what did I have? Oh, country ham. Oh, God.
What makes it country ham? Is just less educated. I'm sorry, Dave. As I'm saying them, I'm like, don't. But
so good. This stuff was like cured for like 12 months, and they slice it real thin. Kind of like
not hate, it's heritage.
Oh, then they gave me these little, they call them Benny rolls. Benny is like the southern cousin of the sesame seed. So just these little homemade yeast rolls with these Benny seeds, and then sorghum butter. They take butter and whip it with some sorghum, which is...
Sorghum
is kind of in the molasses family. Sorghum's this, I don't know how to describe it. It's just this dark, syrupy,
when I was a little kid, for some reason, I always liked maps. There's a feeling of easiness looking at a map.
I love maps.
But like, oh, here's the industries in this particular state. And I just, whatever map I remember was like textiles would have like a spool. Uh-huh. Like, so like on the cities, it would have the different symbols. And one of them was like sorghum, like sorghum producer. I'm like, I don't know why I found that. again, the ASMR, we're talking about things that are satisfying. Mm-hmm. Looking at maps and seeing the little key with all the symbols. I'm like, oh, they produce sorghum. Good to know.
Yeah.
Good to know you produce sorghum, Savannah, George. I don't know. Oh,
but I basically made my own little ham sliders. Probably gave you about a quarter pound of like really thinly sliced little ham pieces and then a couple of those rolls. Mm-hmm. So I'd open up that roll, put a little sorghum butter on both sides, cram a few pieces of ham in there, smush it down.
Man, I think, dude. Did you just get a big plate of ham?
It was like an appetizer. Just ham and rolls and butter.
Not to sound like fancy or anything, but I did a festival in Glasgow, Scotland, years ago. And afterwards, I'm like, I'm going to go to Paris by myself. I'm just going to go to Paris for a few days, wander around.
I remember that.
Yeah, and I was like, I went to some cafe and just the only thing I recognized was hamon. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess I'll have that. And I had a giant, it was like a TV tray of sliced ham, like a platter of sliced ham and then two little buns. And I'm like, am I supposed to make two ridiculous sandwiches?
That's kind of how this was.
Take a nibble of this. That's what I'm saying. Like, they're like, is this a traditional way? Like, do I take a little nibble of this and then a little nibble of ham at a time? Like, I'm going to try and make one sandwich, see if anybody gives me dirty looks. And if it's cool, I'll just make two sandwiches. But otherwise, I'm not really sure what's going on with this dish.
Oh, man.
Because the guy looked at me, he's like, huh? And clearly, this was for a party of five. I'm like, oh, yeah, whatever, man.
Oh, man. That's a wonderful thought of just Kyle sitting in Paris by himself eating ham.
Just trying to be discreet. You know, everything's, you know, le petit, and it's a little coffee, and it's a cigarette. And I got this deli tray that I ordered for myself. Oh my God, so much for being inconspicuous. Yeah. Being an inconspicuous American.
Idiot American.
Yeah. Well, give me all your ham.
Overeating. I had a nice little 420 last week.
Yeah.
I know we talked about how that's kind of a, rookie.
I mean,
that's like going out boozing on New Year's Eve, you know.
But you could still go to have a fun party on New Year's Eve. So.
I had an off day between shows, and I drove down. It was only a couple hours from where I was. I went to Ashland, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Never been to Ashland, Kentucky. And it sits right on the Ohio River, and it's a border town. It's right there. It's the border of Ohio and Kentucky. And then it's also only just a few miles from West Virginia.
Yeah.
So kind of where West Virginia, Ohio, and Kentucky all meet. So it's Ashland, Kentucky. And so I went down there, 420, to see my beloved Drive-By Truckers and got a nice hotel room right across from the venue and just had and mm-hmm. had some gummies with me. I'd acquired some gummies and at a previous show, and 4:20 got in that afternoon. Just kicked it at the hotel for a couple hours, popped some gummies, watched the Braves game, then walked a couple blocks over, just a your run-of-the-mill, and I've talked about how much I love just your run-of-the-mill, generic Southern Mexican restaurant. Not Southern Mexico, but a Mexican restaurant in the southeastern United States. I don't know what it is. It's just, it's all kind of the same recipes, the same techniques.
Yeah.
And out here, you know, the Latinos in L.A. or Southern California would probably roll their eyes at it.
It's gringo Mexican.
It's gringo Mexican, but it was like legitimately good. It's not like food court food. Like
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's homemade food.
It's got all the same burritos. Mm-hmm. You can get them wet. You can get them suizo. They're going to give you the rice and beans on the side. Yeah. I know those plates well. I love those plates.
And they have there what they don't have out here in Southern California is that white cheese dip, that white queso dip. And man, I was just sitting there by myself, just. High out of my gourd, just mowing through white queso. Then I finished that, walked across the street, saw drive-by truckers just by myself. And it was kind of a weird experience. It was a cool experience, but also a weird experience in that truckers, they draw pretty well. They play, most of the time, they play theaters. I've seen them in 2,000 seaters, sold out. This was a 800-seat theater. Beautiful, by the way. Beautiful theater called the Paramount Art Center. By the way, when you go to a theater to see a show, whether it be a comedy show, a band, play, whatever, maybe this was the gummies. but first of all, I sat in the balcony, and my point is, and I'll get to it in a minute.
I like how many by the ways. It's like when you indent. Like when you indent under a table of contents, we're so far to the right of the page now as far as subcategories of the story.
Oh my God. Oh, but I was just, the gummies were kicking in, and I was in the balcony, and there was almost nobody in this balcony. There was literally like me and like eight other people.
Yeah.
And the balcony was probably about half of the total capacity. So it was probably 400 seats in the balcony. There were less than 10 of us in the balcony. Yeah. So before the show starting, and they got the house music and those gummies are kicking in, and I'm just sitting there just staring out the ceiling, looking at the ceiling and the walls.
Yeah.
I didn't do a Wikipedia search on it, but this place had to be at least 100 years old. But like it almost felt like the cathedrals, like it was like an American version.
Yeah.
Like there was so much beautiful art detail up on the ceilings and the walls, and like there's no telling how much work and time went into like all the intricate artwork and detail. So like when you go to a theater, like take a minute to appreciate your surroundings. I mean, it really was incredibly impressive.
Well, it was like a big night out going to those things back in the day. It was, you know, it was like we're playing a comedy club that's in a mall.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm knocking all these outdoor malls, but that's what the town square is now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the gathering place. Mm-hmm. Everybody's spread out in the suburbs. There's no like, oh, the city, we walk to the town square. That's it. That's the gathering place for that town. So it's commerce, but so maybe I shouldn't be like, oh, look how corny this is. Like, well, at least you are putting up fountains and making it pretty.
Yeah, they're trying. You know, they can't help that it's brand new. And
Well, that's why maybe that lady that stumbled in last night got drunk at the Dave and Buster's. It was like, oh, a comedy show. I like comedy. I'll wander into this tonight. And
that
went poorly for her. But
yeah. Oh, boy.
Same as if you were in a city and someone got drunk at a bar. Well, I hear a band in here. I'm going to go watch, you know.
What's in this room?
Yeah.
But yeah, I was just really I just had a moment of like, and just thinking about the history of a theater like that and how many decades of generations of people who come to see shows. And I overheard one guy's like, yeah, I used to come here when I was a kid and watch. This was the only movie theater. And it's like, just, I couldn't imagine how big the screen must have been. It's like, imagine seeing a movie in a, you know, huge actual theater instead of like a, you know, mall Cineplex.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, some of those IMAXs are pretty big.
Yeah, some of them are nice. But yeah, it was just beautiful. And my point is, I felt so bad because I'm assuming just this market, the Ashland, Kentucky, just there's only so many people that live there. Like it wasn't a small town, but I think I did research it. I think it's like 20,000 people population. It's like an old very industrial. There's a lot of warehouses and factories, and you could tell it's past its prime, but you could tell it was probably a bustling town 40, 50 years ago. But anyway, point is, 800 or 900 seat theater, and I was able to count, like literally just eyeballing count, probably. And I'm not shitting on the truckers. Like, I felt bad. Probably 100 folks in it.
No, man.
It's probably 10% full.
I mean, there's...
It felt like watching Soundcheck.
Yeah. Sometimes, like, maybe the advertising. Like, how'd you find out about it?
Just, I always...
So you're on top of...
Whenever I'm on the road, I always research the handful of bands that I'd like to see just to make sure they're not crossing paths, and it just so happened that they were.
Well, again, that's why I do like bands in town, not just because that's... I like to promote on it, because then you follow the bands that you like on there, and you just get an email like, oh, so-and-so is going to be within this area that you will be in, and, you know, and oh, shit, I will do that tonight. Oh, I didn't know they were coming to whichever city I'm living in.
Yeah.
But, you know, so they didn't do a lot of advertising or didn't get the word out or.
Yeah, I guess not. But they, to their credit, they still just ripped it and put, I loved it. Like, cause I was high. I was just sprawled out up in the balcony. There was nobody near me.
Get a little room.
And I just sat there and they played like 2.5 hours and it just, it was, but it kind of felt like watching Soundcheck. Like, man, there's so, you know, they finish a song and then you just hear.
So people weren't even like getting into it.
I mean, there was a small group of people that were really into it, but if everybody was into it, it would have still felt, you know, like. But I just felt bad for him. The opener was amazing. Lydia Lovelace, who I've followed for years, she's fantastic, and she's just up there, just electric guitar, no band. She, a lot of times I've seen her before with a band, but she's just up there, just in this huge stage, huge theater, just by herself. Just a beautiful voice, just ripping it. And but I also felt bad for her because she was humping her own gear after her set, like she's rolling up mic cords and stuff. I was like, oh man, I should have tweeted at her. I'll go lug your gear after your show for free.
When you're getting paid as a solo performer, not a lot of money gets spread around.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure that was the case there. She's like, well, I'm not going to bring my crew if I'm just doing solo.
Was she? I know some people have been like, oh, you know, this group tested positive for COVID, so they like this chunk of the band is taken out. We're filling with some day players, what have you.
Yeah. No, I don't know what the deal was with that. Maybe, you know, just
Like forget. I think it's Wolfgang Van Halen's band. Like, we're just going to do acoustic sex. We lost a lot of people. Mm-hmm. You know, people tested positive, but we don't want to cancel some shows.
And, but it was an amazing show. It was just, that was probably the most lopsided show I've ever been to in terms of capacity versus actual tickets sold.
Yeah.
And it's just, to their credit, they, you know, they just went up and
they're professional.
It.
Oh, they're professional folks.
Yeah. And again, not shitting on them, not their fault.
Nobody's thinking you are. Some markets just aren't there. Like, and we're saying, man, you know, they pretty aware of their politics.
Oh yeah,
maybe Ashland, Kentucky is also aware of their politics and didn't appreciate them none too much.
Yeah, yeah, and I was thinking about that because it was Ashland, Kentucky, and there was just a bunch of just good old boys, and I was like, wonder how they're going to respond to some of the stuff. Not that their stuff is overt, but like,
no,
if
but
you just
it, but it's
read
not
a
the,
little bit of the liner notes, you're like, oh, I see where they're coming from.
It's not that. I love cold beer, hot women,
country slop.
Just that is a
Bucky Fuckington.
That is a difficult genre of music to find any appreciation for.
I did a show in Hilliard, Ohio, basically a suburb of Columbus, and when I get there, it was a nice venue, great show, I had fun. Shout out to Lisa and Tom, put on a great show. But the house music, I as soon as I walked in, I was like, boy, this is fucking awful.
Really?
And I asked the guy running it, Tom, I was like, hey, Tom, real quick, is this your playlist or is this the venue's playlist? He's like, it's a jukebox. And I'm like, oh, fuck.
It's what the people want.
Yeah. So Big Daddy Warbucks whipped out some singles over here, fed them into the jukebox, and did that skip to the front of the line. You got 7 credits to play it now. And so, like, the last 10 minutes right before the show started, I was making sure that we got some good shit up in there.
I mean, was it anybody? You see anybody getting pissed about it? Or just like, it's playing and it's just gonna, nobody's using the jukebox. Well, here's the top 40.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if people had dialed that fucking horrible slop up or it just, but yeah, I was like, well, it don't matter. It's my show. We're fucking changing the fucking Eric Church right now. So,
There was a,
I hate that shit.
Oh man, there's I was watching some clips by some by a Christian comedian. I don't know. It doesn't pertain to anything. Just like, wow. All right, well, it's out there. I mean, somebody's paying for it.
Is it the one I think I know who you're talking about?
Yeah, I don't need. Yeah, we don't have names, but I'm like, somebody's paying for it.
Yeah,
it's. You know, it's blowing smoke up somebody's ass out there. It's
blowing smoke for sure. Oh, boy. Well, man, anything else going on? Where are you at?
Nothing. I'm going to leave the humble confines of the comfortable, quaint confines of your place and go... haul my ass up to Salt Lake City to record a special.
Hell yeah, buddy. You feeling good about it?
I think so. And I think I'm going to have three shows leading into it, mm-hmm. Thursday, Friday. So yeah, it's going to be good, man. I'm proud of it.
You should be, man. Seriously,
I'm proud of it. So thank you.
Not trying to pat you on the dick too much, but...
But it's also not...
It's something to be proud of. It's a great hour.
I knew this time... Especially because it went like, I know I need to record soon because mm-hmm. it's about to get to the point where I'm sick of this stuff. And I'm not. I'm still having fun mm-hmm. selling it. Like, I'm not on autopilot with it yet.
That's important.
And so I'm like, let's record it before. And it always, every special, there's always times where you go, like, oh, I should have said it this way. Mm-hmm. Fuck.
Of course.
But I can't, if I dwell on my comedy like that, mm-hmm. if I dwell on it like... You know, looking at game day footage of like I need to train mm-hmm. my body to like I just, it takes the fun out of it. True. And maybe it's a more professional approach to do it that way. To like I'm going to look at footage, mm-hmm. I'm going to fine tune a bit, I'm going to change this word for this word. I don't know, man. Just what mood is it in the room that night? Yeah. And that's how this set's going to be.
Yeah.
So hope to see people there.
Yeah. Any tickets left? Plug it. Where you at?
Oh, there's tickets.
Yeah.
Well, there's tickets. wise guys in Salt Lake City.
There you go.
But I just had last time I was there. The shows were like better than I'm like all right, Salt Lake City. I'd been there before that too, and the shows were fun. Uh-huh. But it was wild last time. It was just great. I'm like, yeah, I'll record there. Sure. Nice. You guys were appreciative, responsive to the stuff, so we're gonna give it a go.
Well, hell yeah, buddy.
Yeah, man.
That's exciting.
What about yourself?
I got nothing for a little while.
Now you're just home? You get sad again?
Well, take it easy.
You going to get sad again, Dave?
I'm going to spend a few weeks at home and then so I can second guess my career choices before I go back out on the road.
Oh, man, now you're back in L.A.? You got to see Dave out there on the scene, man.
That's right.
Walking distance to a couple clubs.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's good to be back.
Go poke your head in those places.
I'm all horned up for comedy again.
It's good to be horny for comedy.
I'm so horny for it right now.
Yeah. So awkward to use horny, but it's a great adjective.
Yeah.
It's a great adjective for like, get in on that.
I'm lusting over some jokes.
I
want
to get in on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, won't you be still? I've got this. Huh.
Be still.
We will be together in Eureka, California, Humboldt County. We'll be there May 6th and 7th doing a show each night, and then on the 7th I guess we're doing a live Boogie Monster.
7th we're doing live Boogie Monster in the is it 6:30 we're doing
6:30 is the 9 o'clock showtime each night and 6:30 for the podcast on Saturday the 7th.
You betcha.
So buddy. Yeah, man, coming out to that. And I'll be in Bakersfield in July, even though that's a long way away. It's the first time I've never been to Bakersfield, so stay tuned for those details. For my Bakersfield contingent.
Let me know, man. I'm Bruce Gray, actually, years and years ago, was the guy who set me up with a show in Bakersfield.
Yeah, yeah.
So
we'll see how that goes. Real quick, comic of the week. Speaking of live, Boogie Monster was on, where was she? Denver, I think. I think she was Denver, maybe Pittsburgh. Amy Miller got a new album coming out. Maybe it's out now, called California Queen.
Nice.
So Amy Miller, so funny.
Yeah.
She's originally a Portland gal, right? Was she Portland?
I think she started staying up there.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like that's where I met her initially.
Yeah, she may have started there. I think she's from Central California. Her brother is the singer. This is a weird connection. I make that joke in Loose in Chicago about going to see a band, Sam I Am, and I saw a guy almost get a beager from some other Chicago psycho there. I don't know if I've told that story. The guy was just like, play this song. And the singer's like, I'll play that song when you suck my dick. And the guy was just drunk, like, fucking all right, dude. Like, it's Chicago. People do not give. I mean, Rhett Miller has that great lyric about Chicago. He's like, where the booze makes no one blush. He's like, okay. And so he just hopped on stage. And the singer's like, all right. Like, took his pants down. Same, the guy was from a band called Luke Skywalker. And he just grabbed his wiener between his thumb and forefinger, like looked at the crowd, shook it a little bit, like, I guess here we go. And the guy's like, all right, I'll play a song. Like, whoa. It got that close. But the singer of Sam I Am is Amy Miller's brother.
Really?
Yeah.
Small world.
Yeah.
How about that?
And I was like, wait, what? Hold, what? Yeah.
Yeah. So check out Amy Miller, California Queen. So funny. She cracks me up. Great on Twitter, too. Always got great.
I'll just shout out Bruce Gray, emceed both shows this weekend, and Blair. I think it's Blair Saki or Blair Saatchi. I think it's Blair Saki.
Mm-hmm.
Blair Saki, SOCCI, just killed it on Sunday night.
She's so funny.
In Irvine, yeah. It was good to see. I saw Steph Tolev. Mm. She, like, just... psychos. I love it. Just filthy and just unbridled. Like, I will be filthy at you.
Yeah.
And I won't make you like it. Like, deal, I appreciate it. This.
Deal with it. Speaking of Chicago and shout outs real quick, I might as well go ahead. My Chicago show, I talked about it last week. So much fun. Pat and Deb were there. But shout out to Michael Myers, Chicago based comedian. He opened. So funny. So, like, I made this, like, in a, it's not an insult, but, like, stereotypical Chicagoan.
Yeah.
Like, he just, but not even, like, in a boisterous, obnoxious way, because I have met those guys, but just laid back, comfortable in his own skin.
Yeah.
And I, here's my jokes, and they're fucking funny.
Yeah.
And fuck you.
Yeah.
Just so funny.
There's a few of those dudes that are just, they're good. Man, it's good. There's good comedy out there. Go take a chance on a weirdo local show that they're desperate for you to have there.
Yeah.
And you don't have to sit in the front. You could ask, like, we'd rather sit in the back. And they know why, you know?
Yeah, take a chance.
I hate it when people are like, I'm going to talk to the table in the front. I'm like, you're ruining local comedy.
Yeah, no.
Stop doing local comics. Stop doing that. Mm-hmm. If there's nobody there, stop doing crowd work.
Yes. Yeah, you don't have to.
You're scaring these people. Unless you're exceptional or welcoming with it.
Mm-hmm.
You're scaring these people away from coming back to your show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
don't do anyway, it.
There's my 2 cents.
Well, buddy, safe travels.
Thanks, man.
You got the van. Keep between the ditches.
Yeah, we'll go camp out somewhere in Utah tonight. Maybe if we make it that far.
Hell yeah.
I just don't want to stop in Vegas, is all.
Yeah.
I want to get past Vegas. Past Vegas up into some cooler weather, hopefully.
Okay. Well, hell yeah, buddy. And have fun this weekend, man.
Thanks,
man. I know you're going to crush it. It's going to be good, buddy.
Yeah, well, I guess I'll let you know next week how it goes.
Yeah. You just be yourself, Kyle, and that's plenty.
That can go either way these days.
All right, buddy, thanks for stopping by my silly little room.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, man, I'll play you some records here.
Sinking in this chair.
All right, buddy.
The Boogie Monster.
A podcast network.